Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd like to preach a little bit on becoming rich in God. Jesus finishes the parable of what's known kind of as the rich fool with an enigmatic phrase. He says, "Rich in what mattered to God." Or another translation, "rich in the sight of God." Or the King James Version, "rich towards God." All these are translations of the original Greek into Latin, "et non est in Deum dives," in Deum dives, in God dives, rich. So another way we could translate that is being rich in God. He was not rich in God. What's it mean to be rich in God, right? We can be rich in material things. What's it mean to be rich in God himself, who is all things, right? What's that currency, so to speak? I think it starts with answering the question, what's valuable? What holds value for us? When talking about material things, if you're, for example, stocks, they talk about things that hold value or other things, right? That despite the ups and downs in the markets, they hold their value. Other material things like houses and desirable locations, land in general, or precious gems or metals, right? Diamonds and gold. Or if you're talking about companies that have held their value and delivered goods, especially goods and basic human needs over a long period of time, those are goods that they hold value. And this makes an important truth, especially economic truth, but universal truth. Goods that truly meet a universal human need, housing, or transportation, or food, or other things, and they've proven to do well over a long period of time, they hold their value. They're worth investing in, right? They're valuable. Yet, in the first reading, Koheleth tells us something important about all those material things, right? And something we know intuitively. As valuable as they are, they're still temporal, right? They're still passing. What good is it ultimately to invest in them as the ultimate goods that drive us? Sure, enjoy them all, right? One of the beautiful things of Catholic faith is we enjoy the good things, right? Think of all the monks that produce great foods and wines, right? And liquors and farming and all the great things of human culture, music and architecture and beauty, all good things, but ultimately all temporal. Don't expect of those things more than they can give is what Koheleth says. You know, good, work hard, do it all, but then it's going to end in the hands of someone potentially that you don't even know. Like, what's it worth? One could look at this truth and be pretty depressed. Like, what is it all worth, right? Why should I? What is valuable? What's worth investing in? But I invite us, stepping back in silence and prayer and reflection, help us really evaluate what is really valuable for me. This week I went away on my annual retreat, same place as I went last year. I might have mentioned it in the homily last year. I went up to a monastery in the Catskills, Our Lady of Bethlehem. They're sisters of a Carthusian inspiration, so separated from the world, Somebody along the way gave them hundreds of acres up there in the Catskills. And when you go there, you are totally off the grid. Like, even if you want to be on the grid, you can't be on the grid. Like, if you want cell reception, it's like a 3-mile walk or drive to even start to pick up one or two bars, right? And so you're there to separate from all of that and be with the Lord. Their lifestyle is very much that. Everyone, they live in their own little, I wouldn't say hut, maybe their own little cabin around a lake. They each live, they have some common things in common, but they pray each day together. They do some work, gardening or some artisanal work, and they sell some of their goods online. They don't deal with the public at all. And those who go there, they offer you a service. They offer cabins in the woods where you give a goodwill offering, but basically you're there by yourself in the woods with no connection. Got a little kitchenette, basic, you know, bed, little desk, porch that looks out on the lake, but that's it. It's about, and many of you are like, oh yeah, what a life. Send me now, right? Those of us who are, you know, stressed and worried about so many things. But that's what they offer, right? Stepping away. And as I was there, you get such perspective on what moves you, what motivates you, what you love, what you spend your time on, obviously in prayer with the Lord. But I think I was asking myself, like, what good do these sisters, this monastery, what does it do for the world? Like, some would look at it and say, wow, what a waste, right? Stepping away, living out there, not contributing too much to society would be kind of a negative reading of their lifestyle. Almost like a place that time forgot, that kind of voluntarily steps away from the game. But I think there's a real value. One is it offers a space for people like us, right, to step away, to live prayer and reflection and silence and see what's really valuable. Step away from all the material things we've accumulated, all the attention they require to fix, replace, and care for. Stepping away to realize how really little we need so much of it, right? Helping us value what's most important. But they also, at least for me as well, they model that with their whole life. Like, some truths are so important, they're worth radically investing your whole life in. Like, the truth they're radically investing their whole life in is God is the only thing valuable, only thing worth giving your whole life for. And they step away from everything else in order to live that truth, but also to model for the world, God is the only necessary thing for humanity, right? Now, one could say, well, what about if we don't do these things, then society? Sure, there's a role for everyone, but there is a truth that they're revealing to us that is fundamentally, universally, and very importantly, true. God is the only thing. Stepping away then helps us value things. And so, brothers and sisters, my invitation to you is, well, one, take away that time that you need to value and evaluate what is valuable for you. And ultimately, invest in God. Invest in that one thing that holds value always. If there are things that meet a universal human need and have proven to do it over a long period of time, indeed into eternity, those are the things worth investing. Nothing holds value like the eternal truths. There's a whimsical story to point out this truth. Allow me to reference it, especially for you young at heart. It's a story written by the great Lutheran children's storybook writer and illustrator, Theodore Geisel. Man from Springfield, Massachusetts. No doubt you'll recognize it. The main character wants to ruin the joy of the citizens of Whoville, right, by stealing all their gifts and toys for Christmas. And he writes, "They'll find out now that no Christmas is coming. The Who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo," right? However, when the Who's celebrate Christmas despite their losses, singing joyfully without their possessions, the Grinch has an epiphany, one that hopefully we all can have. "Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming, it came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could this be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. A very simple truth, maybe even childish, but universal, true. Maybe these things mean a little bit more. St. Paul tells us, think of what is above, not what's on earth. If you were raised with Christ, and all of us have been raised with Christ, baptized into his death, forgiven, set as children of God, citizens of eternity already, then seek who you are and what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He points to the true things of meaning, of value, where to invest our time, our energy, our passion, the things of God, truth, beauty, goodness, sacraments, faith, scripture, prayer, in the end, love. So how to grow in being rich in God? First, prayer, reflection, and silence. If your true north is a little bit skewed, step away, pray regularly, or even take extra time to reset. Sacramental life. We believe that by God's grace that's at work in the sacraments, we receive divine life into our souls. And because of the sacraments, we're truly rich in God. The sacraments are visible signs of something invisible, but not because it's invisible is it untrue or unvaluable. It is valuable, not just nonetheless, it is ultimately the definition of everything that's valuable. God himself, his grace, his love, his strength in our souls. So coming to Mass, receiving baptism, getting married in the church, all those things that give grace to the life that we live. And then third, I would say practice virtue. Those super habits that have the true good and beauty as their focus, especially those that last forever, and any true virtue lasts forever. The gifts of faith, hope, and charity, right? The theological virtues, because they have God as their focus, their object. Faith, you know, beginning, seeing all things in God and related to him. Hope, looking to the future with trust and confidence. It's not all meaningless, even in this life. It's all beautiful and good in order to something ultimately that gives it all meaning, which is heaven, right? Time and eternity with God. It's a gift. And so the virtue of hope focuses our eyes on the horizon of eternity. And love, acquiring that ability to live sacrificially, to live completely for the other, that other first God, Jesus, those we love, our family members, those we serve. Divine love in our souls frees us from disordered desires and selfishness. God's love for us becomes in our souls a deep invitation to communion with him and with others, and ultimately make life joyful and meaningful, even without gifts at Christmas, right? So in short, our hearts and in our faith in God through the sacraments, prayer, the church, our conscience following it, every Catholic has all he or she needs to be rich in God, if we just engage and embrace that grace. Amen.